How do you know when it's springtime? When the leaves are out. Well, I won't take my face off this morning. I'll unfortunately have to keep it on, so you'll have to look at it. But if you really need to, just close your eyes so that you don't have to see my face. Thank you for the opportunity of being here with you this morning. It's a real privilege to be able to come and to speak and to share with you. I was asked to share my testimony this morning. Some of you have heard my life story before, and I want to try and weave in some scripture as I tell the story of what God has done in my life. Afterwards, there will be some of these little tracts available at the back. Somebody has taken my testimony and put it into a tract form recently, and so some of those will be available at the back. It's called The Day My Life Ended, but not in the way I expected. In Micah, in the Old Testament, one of the prophetic books in chapter 7, the prophet Micah looks at the condition of the people that he is amongst. And then he looks at who God is and the way God is working and God's offer of love and mercy. And he says this. He says, who is a God like you? Who is a God like you? You know, there are many gods. There are many religions. There are many paths. There are many philosophies. There are many things that people have out there, many beliefs. But what the prophet Micah looked at is he looked at all the options. And then he looked at the living and true God, the God of the Bible. He posed that question, who is a God like you? In other words, he was saying, the God of the Bible is in a category all of his own. There is no one that you can compare him to. There is nothing that you can compare him to. And particularly, this is what he says. Who is a God like you who pardons guilt and overlooks sins or transgressions? You delight in showing mercy. You will have compassion on us. You will take all our sins and cast them into the deepest ocean and remember them no more. I was born in South Africa. I was not born into a situation where there was a lot of religious influence, certainly not Christian influence in my early life. I did attend a church for a while, some Sunday school, but it was a situation where it was basically just a do-good people, social club kind of thing. People went to church because it made them feel better about themselves. And I was involved in that church a little bit. But when my mom died at 8 years old, and she had been the one who had had the influence in our home in terms of at least taking us off to this church, when she died, everything changed in our home rather dramatically. My dad certainly was not interested in anything to do with the Bible, Christianity, religion, whatever. He just wasn't interested at all. And our lives pretty much fell apart after my mom died. It was very sudden, very unexpected. I had two older brothers. I was 8 years old. My other brother was 12 and the other one was 14. And it really sent our family into shock. My dad attempted to commit suicide because he felt he just couldn't cope. He couldn't cope without her. Very sad time in our lives. he poured himself into his work. And he would work midnight shifts and work all the overtime that he could, and basically which left us three boys on our own. And we pretty much had to fend for ourselves in those days. And you leave three boys alone, and especially, you know, getting into their teenage years, and surprise, surprise, they find all kinds of things to get into that they shouldn't. And so we became involved in a number of things that were far less than ideal, and there was a lot of promiscuity, there was a lot of drinking, there was some experimenting with drugs, there was a lot of fighting and violence and etc., etc. We don't need to go into all of the gory details, but a very sad time in our lives, and our family had no direction at all. We made our own rules as we went along. It was a tough time. It was a really tough time. And as an eight-year-old, suddenly being plunged into that situation, I guess I came to the conclusion at a very young age that life was harsh. Life was hard. And there didn't seem to be a whole bunch of meaning to life. I looked around at our neighbors and people's homes were disintegrating, marriages were breaking down. I looked at the stuff that was happening in my circle of friends at school. It was not a nice life. And as a kid, I thought, dog eat dog. You got to do what you have to do to survive. But basically, that's what life is all about. But it's a curious thing. Even if you don't have anybody saying to you, this is right or that's wrong, or whatever, we human beings have a conscience, a God-given, God-implanted conscience. And so there were things that I was doing that even though there was nobody in my life and nothing in my life saying, you shouldn't do that, in my mind, I knew that was wrong. I knew it wasn't wholesome. I knew it wasn't good. And it troubled me deeply. And as a result of drinking, of partying, of all the things, of the guilt, of the pressure, of the sadness, I became very depressed, and I struggled with depression very severely from a young age. And, it got to the point in my life where I finally decided, hey, the best option is to end my life. Because if I committed suicide, this would be the end of the pain. So, stop the world. I want to get off. And so I wrestled and thought about that and struggled with that. And one night I'd been out drinking very heavily. I don't know how I got home. I don't know who brought me home. I don't know what happened. Woke up mid-morning the next day, pounding headache. And it just seemed also pointless. And I said, hey, you know what? Maybe this is the day. Maybe I'm just going to stop things right here. And I was in a small cottage that my dad owned down in the coast, or just south of Durban, on the east coast of South Africa. And I went down to the beach. And I stood on the beach for a while. It was a wild, windy day, not very nice, nobody else around. And I had all kinds of thoughts and emotions just rushing through me. And I looked at the waves, and I kind of felt like that inside, just restless. And at one point, I watched these waves just, the breakers coming in. And they'd reach the shore, and then wham, they hit against the shore, shoot up the beach, and just recede back to where they were. It seemed like, what's the point of all this effort and energy? The ocean's going nowhere. It's making all this noise and doing all this stuff, but it's not going anywhere. And that's what I felt like inside. It's like, yeah, what's the point, Rush, 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 try this. You try and, turn over a new leaf. You try and be a better person, and you get nowhere, right? And so as I stood there on the beach, it just, everything came and kind of crystallized in my mind. I said, okay, this is it. I got into the water and I began swimming. And I figured there was nobody else around. Nobody would see me. I could swim as far as I could, get beyond the breakers. And eventually I would get really tired. And at that point, even if I chickened out and decided to swim back, I'd never make it. But there was a very high possibility that a shark would take me. A lot of sharks in the area. So I figured if, one way or another, this is the end. I was quite some distance out swimming in the breakers. I was crying. I was very upset. And all of a sudden, I heard somebody call my name. And it was a very clear, very unmistakable. It wasn't just a casual, hey, Peter. It was very compelling. Somebody called my name very, very definitely. And I didn't know what was going on. But it was so urgent. It was so compelling that I turned around. I was treading water, and I looked back to the beach. There was nobody there. And again, my name was called. And I swam back to the beach. And I got out, and I stood, and I looked, and I'm like, okay, I must be losing my mind. Maybe that's what's happening, because there's nobody here. Why did I come back? And all these jumbled thoughts rushing through my mind. And so I started walking down the beach, just stumbling along and trying to make sense, what's going on here? And I stopped at one point and I looked, and of course my footprints were following me in the sand. And I thought, that's my past, right? That's like my past. It's sticking to me. I can't get rid of what I've done. I can't get rid of this guilt and these horrible thoughts and these dark thoughts. I'll never be able to escape it. And I tried running along the beach as fast as I could, but I couldn't outrun my footprints, right? And some of you say, duh. Hello, you can't outrun your footprints. But to me, that was symbolic to me at that point. I can't escape my past. I'm a product of what's happened. There's no hope for me. And as I walked along and stumbled along, I came to a point where the river came into the ocean. And there was a railroad bridge going over at that point. And the river was in strong flow. And so I decided to go up to cross on the rail bridge. And all of a sudden, I heard a voice saying, "Hi, hey there, hey." And I turned around and looked. And here's this woman, complete stranger, never seen her before. And she's calling to me and beckoning me over. I'm like, I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to talk right now, you know. But she was like, "Hey, come over here," you know, and I'm like, "Well, what does this woman want?" And I kind of almost had to pass her because she was underneath the bridge, and she had a little boy playing with her in the sand, and I had to pass her to get up on the bridge, and she just started chatting to me, just friendly conversation, and you know, about the weather and whatever, and I'm like, yeah. And as she's talking to me, suddenly she changes the conversation. And she begins to tell me her life story and stuff that's happened in her life and how she had come from a background of great wealth, but feeling very empty inside, very privileged background. Husband is a very successful businessman. She had all the furs and diamonds and gold that she possibly could want. She moved in the highest circles in the Johannesburg area, up on the gold mine area. Yeah, but her life was empty. She felt like there was something missing, and she eventually came to a point in her life where she was introduced to Jesus Christ. And she was very skeptical at first. Her husband was very skeptical about her even going this route. And as she met personally the Lord Jesus Christ and discovered he's real, he's true, this is not just religion, this is not just words, this is reality. And her life was dramatically changed as a result of that encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Almost instantly, her husband became very angry, very jealous. And, you know, to cut a long story short, he attempted to kill her. He walked into the bedroom one day. She was sitting on the bed and reading her Bible. They had a little two-year-old daughter. And he walked in, and she saw him out the corner of her eye. And when she looked up, he was holding a pistol. And she said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm going to kill you." And she turned her face away, and in that split second, she said, "Lord Jesus, please take care of our daughter." And he fired, and the bullet hit her, shattered her jaw, went through and lodged in her neck, and she was unconscious. A servant in the next room heard the shot, came running through just in time to see him put the gun to his head and blow his brains out. And amazingly, she survived this, and it took her a long time to learn how to speak again and walk again, and just incredible. And as she relayed the story to me, she told me, she said, "That was 28 years ago. She said, I was put out on the streets without a penny. She was not protected by the laws in those days in South Africa. Her husband's will had cut her out. She was turned out on the street, her and her daughter, without an absolute penny. And he'd left money to his friends, to nightclubs, to his social clubs, whatever. She didn't have a penny." And she said, 28 years ago, she said, "We've never missed a meal. We've never gone hungry. God has taken care of us." And she said, "My daughter is now married, and this is her son here playing in the sand." And so it's just remarkable as she relayed the story to me. And then she told me afterwards the reason that she was down at the beach. As I mentioned, it was not a nice day, not a good day to go down to the beach at all. But she'd been up at her home with her little grandson, and he said, "Granny, please take me down to the beach. I want to go and play in the sand." And she said, "No, the wind's blowing, it's not nice. And please, Granny, won't you take me?" And she's like, "No, no." And he just seemed so insistent. And normally he was a very obedient boy. And she's like, "What has gotten into this kid? I mean, he's just not taking no for an answer." And then it suddenly dawned on her. She thought, oh, maybe God has a purpose in me going down to the beach. So she went into a bedroom, knelt down, and she said, Lord, if this is from you, if you're using him to get me to go to the beach, then just confirm that to my mind. And if I do go, and please give me somebody to speak to share the truth of the gospel with today. And so she got up and just felt like, yeah, this is the right thing to do. So she took him down to the beach. There was nobody on the beach. And for a long time, she kept looking. There's nobody here. And she's like, okay, I made a mistake. I obviously misread this. And she said, then suddenly she saw somebody way down the beach. And she saw them get into the water. And she said, as she saw me swimming out, she didn't know who it was or why I was there. But she just had this overwhelming feeling like that person intends to harm themselves. And she prayed and she said, Lord, stop that person from harming themselves. Give me an opportunity to speak to them. Somebody called. She was praying. And when she saw me come back to the beach and start to walk towards her, she said, thank you, God. That's the person you want me to speak to. And so just remarkable how the Lord had worked to place her there at that time. And she began to share with me truths from the Bible. And she talked about the problem of guilt and how sin messes our minds up and how it makes us sad and how it gives us no purpose in life and how when we're not living life connected with God, we feel that emptiness. And you know, she was sharing things that was almost like she knew all about me. She said stuff that just connected with me, with my thoughts, my hearts, my struggles. And I had to be God working through her, not even knowing who I was or what I was facing. And she offered me, through the scriptures, hope in Jesus Christ, forgiveness of my sins in Jesus Christ, freedom from that awful guilt, a new beginning, freedom from that past that I so dreaded and was such a shame to me. You know, she offered me a heavenly Father who loved me, who cared about me, who would never leave me or forsake me, and that would never abandon me. I mean, here was I as a young person feeling very abandoned, with my mom having died and my home having fallen apart. And here she was offering me somebody eternal who loved me, who knew all about me, who knew my worst points, but who had died for me to rescue me from myself and from my sin. And it was just absolutely astounding. And I didn't even want to look at her because the tears were rolling down my cheeks. And, you know, when you're a teenage guy, you're too macho to cry, right? I mean, you're a teenager. But my heart was broken. My heart was broken. And then she, at one point, challenged me. She said, would you like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And it didn't take me long as she asked that question to respond, because I knew that what she was offering me was right. This was true. And you know, I knelt in the sand there underneath that little railroad bridge in the beach sand, and I prayed and I just told the Lord all about me. She said, just be honest. Just tell him where you've been and what you've done, what your struggles are. And, you know, it was so neat because I didn't have to have flowery language. I didn't have to say, oh, thou almighty eternal Father who thus or whatever. I just talked to him and what I had and told him all about me. And I asked him to be my Savior, to forgive me and wash me and cleanse me spiritually and give me a brand new life, a brand new start in Christ. Who is a God like you who pardons guilt, who overlooks sins and transgressions, and who delights in showing unfailing love, who will have compassion on us, who will cast away all our sin into the depths of the sea? And that was so meaningful for me as I got up from that place after praying, and I felt this weight lifted off, this burden gone, this peace, this inexplicable peace. It's like, wow, I don't feel like killing myself anymore. I want to live. I want to live. And I want to tell other people about this amazing grace of God, this amazing love of God. It was just like the burden was rolled away from me. And you know, she She shared some Bible verses with me. I didn't have a Bible at home or anything. She encouraged me. She said, you need to get a Bible and you need to start reading it. And you need to find out who God, more about God and about what he says. And I walked back along that same beach to go back up to the cottage. And an amazing thing had happened during that time. The tide had come in and my footprints were gone. Cleansed, washed. There was not a mark on that beach. And I just, oh, wow, praise the Lord. You know, that which I could not do, that shame, that guilt, that past that I couldn't undo, how could I undo it? I couldn't. God had cleansed. And there was a new beginning. There was a new, fresh set of footprints across that sand as I walked back that day. And what a release. What a burden was gone. What peace was mine. In the Lord Jesus Christ. I went back up and I went to see my grandmother. My grandmother was a professing Christian. We'd never been able to have good conversations because we'd always had arguments. But I just felt I needed to tell her what had happened. And when I told her, she just couldn't believe it because she knew the life I was living, and she just was absolutely amazed and thrilled, you know. And she took her own Bible, and she gave it to me. She said, I want you to have this. And she wrote in the front of that Bible, and I still have that Bible today. I've not used it a lot because I don't want it to fall apart. I want to keep it, you know. But she said to me, she said, I want you to go up. She said, there's an old man who lives up the road, and you know that he's been praying for you? I don't even know the guy. Like, why would he be praying for me? She said, he has been praying that you would get saved. Okay. So I went up there and knocked on the door. And he opened the door. And when he saw me, he burst into tears. I was like, I know my face is not very pretty, but I mean, most people don't burst into tears when they see me. And he was just crying and sobbing. And I just stood there, didn't know what to say, what to do. And then eventually, he took me inside, and when he composed himself, I said, I just wanted to tell you. My grandmother said I should come and share with you what's happened to me. And he said, I know, my boy, I know. I'm like, what does he know? My grandmother didn't own a phone in those days. There was no phone. There was no means of communication. She had arthritis and walked with two crutches. She couldn't have run around the back door and told him. It's like, what does he mean? He knows, you know? And he said, you've been saved today, haven't you? Yes, I have. And he said, early hours of this morning, he said, I suddenly woke up out of a deep sleep. And this thought was on my mind, pray for that young fellow down the road. He said, I slipped out of bed and I knelt next to the bed and I started praying. My wife woke up and she thought I'd had a heart attack or fallen. She said, what's wrong? What's wrong? He said, I'm praying for that young fellow down the road. And he said he prayed and he just felt God was going to do something. And he prayed until he had peace. And he said, the Lord just laid it on my heart. He's going to get saved today. And he said, when I had that assurance, I said, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to wait for the news. And he went back to bed. And so when he saw me there, he knew the Lord had answered prayer. I'm like, wow. You know, as the young people would say, how cool is that, right? I mean, just the Lord was working all these ways that I didn't know. And this man praying for me, this little boy asking his grandmother to go down there, putting me at that beach at that time, just absolutely astounding. And, you know, my life began to change dramatically as a result. Our family situation was not good, obviously, and my dad became involved in a cult for a time, and there was a lot of stress in the home. And as I try to share with him what I had come to find in the Lord Jesus and truth and peace, and he was going off on a tangent with this cult, and it was a very difficult time. And my family didn't want to hear what had happened to me. My one brother, I tried to tell him one day, and he turned around, he grabbed me, pushed me up against the wall, and he took his fist and pushed it into my nose. And he said, you ever mention that again, I'll turn your face inside out. Nice family, eh? But that's the way it was. Right? But you know, the Lord began to put some people into my life who came to encourage me. You know something remarkable? that one little church that I'd been to when I was young, Sunday school, they didn't know the Lord themselves. There was a man who'd been a Sunday school teacher there. And shortly after I became a Christian, knock at the door, this man. I didn't recognize him at first, could have been years. He said, "You might not remember me." He said, but at one point, "You guys came to my Sunday school class." He said, "I've come to apologize." He didn't know what had happened to me recently. He said, "In those days when you were in my Sunday school class," he said, "I did not know Jesus as my Savior." He said, "I was a religious man, very religious, staunchly religious. I never missed a Sunday." He said, I prided myself on being one of the most religious people around. But he said, "I had no relationship with God. I didn't have the assurance of my sins forgiven. I was just religious." And he said, "I was just trying to teach you guys some good moral principles or whatever, but I didn't know Jesus." He said, "Now that I do, I'm trying to find all my Sunday school pupils that I ever taught and apologize to them and explain the real gospel to them." Wow, isn't that neat? And he was so excited when I told him what had happened to me and how the Lord had saved me. He was so excited. It was just a wonderful experience. And the Lord just began to put people like that in my life who would encourage me and try and build me up in the faith and teach me the scriptures. And as I began to learn more about who God really is, I knew so little about him at that point. But as I began to discover more about who God is, I was amazed. Wow, this perfect, holy, righteous God, why would he want anything to do with human beings who've rebelled against him, who curse him, who ignore him, who reject him, who trash him? Who wants to be friends with somebody like that who treats you in that way? And I began to see the heart of God, the greatness of the love of God, the patience of God with us human beings. And then as I began to understand more of what it cost him to send his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for this rotten, dirty, no good sinner. Whoa. But this is real. This is true. And it just began to blow me away. And I became more and more excited about what I had received in Christ. And more excited as I began to see that behind the scenes that I never knew, the grace of God had been working. God had been following me and pursuing me. He'd never forgotten me, right? He was there, and that day he met me there on that beach. 3:30 in the afternoon, 11th of July, 1975, on that beach in South Africa. He was there. He was there. Praise the Lord for that. But as I began to live my Christian life, I very soon realized the Lord doesn't promise, "Hey, become a Christian, and solve all your problems. After that, plain sailing, you'll never have any heartache, sadness, nothing, never have a financial problem. Everybody will like you and you'll like everybody else and you'll never fall down and skin your knee. Nobody will misunderstand. Hey, it's just going to be great." No. Not at all. Begin to discover that the Lord allows us to remain in a very imperfect world, and we go through all the range of emotions and experiences that everybody else does. But the difference is, He carries us through it. He carries us through it. And even for me, resolving the issues that I had in relationship to losing my mom, which I probably, in my bitterness and anger, may have never resolved, with God's help, I was able to deal with those issues, right? And the Lord began to work things out. And yes, still have lots of problems. The Lord doesn't say get saved and get rid of all your problems. But He promises to be there with us in them and through them. And the Lord, in His grace and wisdom, gave me a wonderful wife. My wife grew up part of her life in Angola. Missionary parents in that country, African country of Angola. They were forced out because of the civil war, and they came down to South Africa. And when I was in Bible college, that's when I met her, and we were married and eventually ended up back here in Canada. And God blessed us. We with 8 children. The last boy died in childbirth just a month after we moved up north. But we lived in Toronto for a while. We lived in Peterborough for about 16 years, and we've lived up in Englehart now for about 9 years. Seven children, three boys, four girls. And it's been an amazing journey to see God work through all of those things and provide for us. The Lord put us in a position of being in full-time ministry, to live by faith from day to day. And He's never failed us. He's never forgotten us. He has supplied our need. In His wisdom, He saw fit to put me through many health issues. Some of them might have been a consequence of those early days of various experimentation with things. Some of it might well have been a consequence of that. But I've had to be in and out of hospital and had major surgeries, and there's been some complications and difficulties associated with that. But in each one of those experiences, He's been there. He's been there. When Dorothy delivered our eighth child, and we knew the child had already died in the womb, and she had to go through that experience of giving birth. And when I held that little one in my arms, it's like, wow, this complete silence in the birthing room. No happy cry or anything. I don't know how I would have coped with that in my own strength. I would have gone to pieces. God was there. God was there, Different times when I've been told, okay, I was paralyzed at one point, you'll never walk again. God was there. God was there. He didn't choose to miraculously heal me. I had to go through surgery. I had to go through, rehabilitation and everything else and being on a walker. And God was there. And He took me through those experiences. And He taught me lessons that I couldn't have learned any other way. And I thank God for those valleys, those dips, those dark times. Those issues. There have been times that somebody just hasn't liked me. They don't click with my personality. Didn't matter what I did, they didn't like me. And at one point, we had some people who absolutely trashed us, trashed our reputation, made life so hard for us. We had to shelter our children from this blast of attack and criticism. And the temptation is to say, why, God, why? But instead, the Lord helped us to say, what can we learn from this, Lord? What can we take away from this? How are You with us in this? And He walked with us through it. So it's not just easy. It's not just, everything goes our way. Yeah, there have been tremendous struggles, tremendous times of pressure and stress. But the difference is, this God, this pardoning God, this gentle, compassionate God who has unfailing love, He's been with me. He's been with us, and He's walked through it. Even when we've been through situations of close friends, of family members who have died, yes, even through the valley of the shadow of death, He's been with us. Through car accidents, He's been with us, and He's protected us through quite a number of car accidents over the last few years. And all that's been associated with that, He's there. And what I want to just share with you today is, in a sense, the title of that little tract. Yes, on that day on the beach in South Africa in 1975, my life did end. I thought I was going to commit suicide, but God came in, and my old life did end there. It did end, but a new life began, a new life in Christ. I didn't deserve it. I still don't deserve it. But the grace of God, the love of God, the unfailing mercy of God reached and touched me. And He's always been with me. Your life can end today too. In a good way. You can start a new life in Christ today. And He offers to you, whether you're young or old, whether you're rich or poor, no matter what age or stage that you are in life or in society, this God, this pardoning, loving, merciful God says to you, I love you. And I gave my Son to die on the cross for you, to forgive your sins, your guilt, all those things that you've messed up, the shame that you can't undo. But I want to clean that for you. I want to wash that. And I want to give you new life, eternal life in Christ that nobody can take away from you. And I want to give you myself That's what the Lord really is offering to us, Himself as our Father, as our Savior, as our Lord, as our friend, as our Master, as our confidant. There's no one better. There's no one that you can compare Him to. There's no one, there's nothing like Him. And I want to offer you today the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you consider Him? Will you hear Him? Not hear me, but will you hear Him calling your name today and inviting you to come to Him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You're so awesome and amazing and wonderful. So great and majestic and powerful and beautiful and perfect and holy. And Lord, we just are amazed that You would be concerned about us, that You would want a relationship with us, that You would love us and that You would love us enough to die for us. Wow. Lord, we're amazed. We're astounded at Your love. And I want to pray today and ask and plead in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, please. If there is somebody here today and they don't know You, Lord, they've never had their sins washed away, and they're still like I was, stumbling around in confusion and emptiness and in pain and spiritual darkness and trying to be religious or trying to earn their way to heaven or trying to be a better person or trying to clean up their own act, but they can't. Lord, I pray that You would help that man, that woman, that boy, that girl today to stop trying and to give up all hope in themselves, to not try and reach within themselves to find the answer, but to give up hope within themselves, to give up hope and trust in religion, in stuff, in things, and find their complete hope and peace and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ today. Please, Lord, will You work? Will You touch hearts and minds in this very room here today and change people's lives for all eternity? Thank You for what You've done in my life, Lord. I'm still nothing, Lord, but You're everything. I just praise You and glorify You and thank You today. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.